The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. We will continue the chapter of John we started last week. We'll begin today with verse 15. John, chapter 14, verse 15, reading through verse 21. "If you love me," Jesus said, "you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will send another companion who will be with you forever. This companion is the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive because it neither sees him nor recognizes him. You know him because he lives with you and will be with you. I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live too. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them loves me. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What was Jesus looking for in the disciples? Why did he call them to come follow him? Was he recruiting a fan club? An army to defend him from critics and opposition? Why did he lead them through the roads of Judea and Galilee for 3 years? Why did he call them aside from the multitudes to explain to them the parables he had been teaching? What did he want from them? What did he want for them? In what is known as the farewell discourse, we might find some answers to some of these questions. In last week's gospel reading from the opening verses of John chapter 14, Jesus offered his disciples peace for their troubled hearts. This seems to be what he wanted for them. More than anything else, it seems Jesus wanted their encounter with him to have some consequential impact on the state of their mind, their heart, and their soul. He wanted them to have a peace that transcended all the challenges of life. What he wanted from them was for them to believe in him, to trust him. What he was looking for from them was a kind of relationship that would influence who they were and how they would live their lives and invest their lives day in and day out. He wanted to shape them into someone that would be recognized as his followers, his disciples. Now, sandwiched between last week's gospel reading and this morning's reading from the farewell discourse of Jesus are some omitted verses from the appointed lectionary reading, in which we see what the disciples wanted, at least Philip wanted from following Jesus. Philip wanted just one thing. One thing as a disciple. One last request before Jesus' crucifixion. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father. That will be enough for us." Jesus' response to Philip was the same, basically, that his response had been to Thomas. He wanted to know the way where Jesus was going. Jesus said, "Don't you know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." I hear Jesus saying, what I have always wanted, what all of this has always been about, was showing you the Father. All of it. The miracles, the parables, the compassion, it has all been so you would know the Father. Had it all been for nothing? There they stood, the disciples, with troubled hearts and confused minds. Had it all been lost on them? What more could Jesus do? What more could he do? What more did he have to offer in his farewell discourse? In the first half of John 14, Jesus called his disciples to have faith, to believe in God and to believe in him. Well, that proved to be quite a challenge for their troubled hearts. It is still a great challenge for our troubled hearts today. The disciples needed more, and so do we. Then in the second half of John 14, Jesus tells them how much they are loved. He tells them that they are loved with a love that will not and cannot let them down or leave them alone when they need Him the most. He promises that they will be sent another comforter, a companion who will be with them forever. He says this companion is the Spirit of Truth, or the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus introducing His disciples to the Holy Spirit whom they would receive on the day of Pentecost. Now, seeing Pentecost is but 2 short weeks away, it may serve us well to receive a bit of an introduction to the Holy Spirit ourselves. Who is this Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit have to offer us? Why does Jesus think this is the time and place for such a promise? The word Jesus uses for this sustaining presence He is promising is literally translated, one called alongside, one together with, the one beside us. If Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, the Holy Spirit is Paraclete, God beside us. It is a word which is translated in various versions of Scripture as Comforter, Helper, Advocate, and Friend. All these are fitting words for the work and role of the Holy Spirit, the never-failing presence of God, who always stands with us, stands up for us, speaks and prays on our behalf, one who lends a comforting, healing, and helping presence, one who stays ever by our side when we are down or hurting. But I particularly like the translation of the Common English Bible, companion. Not only does it seem to incorporate all of these nuances of the work of the Spirit, it seems to be the best fit in the context in which Jesus is speaking. In that moment, what Jesus wanted for the disciples was to know that once they no longer had His physical presence with them, they would not be alone. He promised them that they would receive another companion, a companion who would continue to offer peace to their troubled hearts. Remember the image last week of the troubled heart from the psalmist in last week's sermon? The psalmist said a troubled heart is best seen by thinking about a motherless child. Here, Jesus promises that He would not leave them as orphans. The loss of His physical presence would not mean that they were alone in the world. They would have, well, a companion in whom they would find everything they had found in Him, a companion who would continue to make God known to them. In this context, what was important to Jesus was that the disciples know that they would have an abiding companion in the coming of the promised Holy Spirit. Jesus wanted them to know that they would never be alone. From the confines of troubled hearts, we might well question whether this promised companion is really beside us. How do we expect this companion to provide the comfort of God? As we entered the dark days of the pandemic over 3 years ago, I shared a poem by Sylvia Purdy, who asked us what we imagined God's comfort to be. A bodyguard God? A helicopter parent God? A bubble wrap God? We know from experience that is not who God is or how God responds to us in our time of needs. Saints through the ages would attest to that. Purdy's poem says, "Doesn't sound like my God, doesn't sound like my life, or Peter's, or Paul's." If not a bubble wrap companion, then what kind of comfort is to be found in this Holy Spirit? This, a companion who journeys with us, a presence and a refuge that never abandons us in the dark days that might cast a shadow over our lives. In our own context, within the secular age, this seems to be the kind of companion we need. Andrew Root writes about the isolation resulting from the acceleration of time within the secular age. You don't have to read his books to know the abandoned, self-disenfranchised feeling that he is writing about. We may try to bury it beneath busyness, acquiring stuff, even being in crowds, but the feeling cannot be denied or escaped. Root says what people need and what the church must offer is an encounter with God and a connection to community. That is the work of the companion Jesus promised and that we have received in the Holy Spirit. This is a companion who will show us the Father. This is a companion whose presence alongside us shows us the God who, as Paul says, isn't far away from any of us, the God in whom we live and move and have our being. We don't have to go on some great spiritual quest in order to find God. We don't have to search the archives of human history. This is a God who has been, is, and always will be right alongside us. A God who is known even now in the companion Jesus promised. By the way, this promise of the companion is a communal promise. Jesus told the disciples that they would know the companion because he said he lives with you and will be with you. The pronoun there, you, on both occurrences, is a second person plural. Some might say you all or even y'all. The promise and the presence of the companion is rooted in, nourished in, and expressed in community. Through provision, privilege, and responsibility and accountability. This promise to the disciples and to us as a companion, of a companion, is sandwiched between mirroring statements which convey responsibility as well as promise. In the opening verses of the scripture reading, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Then again, in verse 21, Jesus says, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them loves me." We have thought today about what kind of companion Jesus is promising. We have thought about what he wants the disciples to receive from the companion. But what is Jesus looking for from us, from those who claim to be his followers, his disciples? What kind of companions are we to be? See, the gospel is both an announcement and a call, not just one or the other. Discipleship without grace turns into self-righteous legalists. Grace without discipleship transforms us into detached observers. Only grace and discipleship together can make us whole. An admirer stands in awe and appreciation. A disciple follows in love and obedience. Pentecost is still 2 weeks away, but the good news of the gospel is that we don't have to wait until Pentecost to know we have a companion in the Holy Spirit whose presence is called alongside us. Let us celebrate the assurance today that we are never, ever alone. Amen.